50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
I came more like 95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
It's early in the morning, but they told me it was y'all. I said, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of pissing people off.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday, back to the work week.
And it's been feeling like summer lately, at least here in the tri-state. Not talking to everybody that's in all these other states that has been feeling like summer. But here in the tri-state, it's been definitely feeling like summer the past week or so.
Yeah, the weather's been pretty good. And over the weekend, I had my kid's birthday party, London and Jackson. London turned 4, Jackson turned 3. Their birthday is 2 days apart.
Round of applause for that, damn it.
What a birthday party it was. The rain held up.
He don't care about your kids, bro.
Damn, man.
Damn, he don't care about your kids,
I'll wait for the applause.
So it didn't rain.
It rained a little bit, but it didn't stop anything. It was an amazing party. I mean, we had a carnival theme party at the crib. We had over 150 kids running around. It was supposed to be about 250, but because of the rain, some people didn't come out, and I get it. But it was still dope. They had rides. They had Ferris wheel, carousels, helicopter rides. They had the pirate ship there, bouncy, slides,
did you
obstacle
charge
courses.
People? You should have charged people.
Nah, I didn't charge people. I just
charged people.
Just had a good time. We had a DJ playing music. Girls got their fingernails painted. You could get your face painted if you wanted. They had balloons, stilt walkers, mimes, clowns, you name it. It was dope. Then in the back, it was like a pool party in the back where we had lifeguards so you could just enjoy yourself in the pool. They had food. It was an amazing event. It was stressful because I was nervous that it was going to rain and the event was going to be ruined and I'd have just lost all the money. But it held up and it was just a dope event. The kids had a great time and everything.
What the hell did they do for you for Father's Day?
Father's Day, my dog came in.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you got your
they
dog.
Surprised
they
me
bought
with,
you a dog?
They surprised me with a dog. This is the dog that I've been wanting, I've been trying to get. So the dog owner actually came from Tennessee. Now, these dogs are fully trained. She brought 3 dogs, and I could choose which dog I want, whichever dog connects with me. The dogs are about a year old, but they're fully trained. When I mean fully trained, you don't have to do anything. I can say me and you are beef, and I'm walking in the street minding my business, and you come to attack me. My dog.
Why would I attack you? Don't point at the darkest person in the room and say how he would attack you. You don't stereotype me like that.
I'm not
point
stereotyping.
Point at the white man, Steve. You point at Steve.
Say the white man, Steve,
there you
comes
go.
Up and he's looking creepy, right? My dog will
looking creepy, but I would attack you. See what I'm saying?
Let's say he's looking creepy. My dog will be on alert, and then if I give him the word, the command, my dog will make sure we have no problem with the creepy white man anymore.
Steve, what would the command be? Huh? If you wanted the dog to attack you, what would the command be?
Sick him.
Wait, this is a setup. Charlamagne, no, hold on. Charlamagne, what's the command?
Crack ass, cracker.
I didn't even say that. So if I say that command, my dog will go after first.
Crack ass, cracker.
That he found.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
So I'm pretty excited about that. So, the dog, and it's a service dog, so I can take it on planes. I can take it anywhere I need to go.
Oh, you could bring that big dog on a plane?
I could take that dog anywhere. In the hospitals, I'm going to bring him to work one day this week. I'm going to take him everywhere.
Don't bring that dog in here to work now.
I'm going to bring him everywhere.
Let's test out this attack mode.
I'm
definitely going to test him out.
If you got to bring an attack dog to work, then iHeartRadio has absolutely failed us when it comes to security.
Do you know where we work?
If you feel like you got to bring an attack dog.
How many times have you been attacked?
Twice.
All right. Well, that's 7 years.
That's a pretty good ratio.
That gives me enough feeling to bring an attack dog to work.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Angela, you did see the Tupac movie. How was it?
Oh, yes. I saw it last night. I'm in Detroit, so I saw it out here in Detroit.
I haven't watched it yet.
How was it?
It was okay. I know some people are trying to act like it's the worst movie. It was terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. It's not like a straight out of Compton level of movie. That was an excellent movie. It was decent.
Okay. All right, well, front page news next, what are we talking about?
We'll talk about Philando Castile and the officer. Yes, in Minnesota. And also, just this morning, attacks in London. They are treating this like terrorist attacks.
And okay. Tiffany Haddish will be here this morning.
Tiffany Haddish. That's right. Explain to Tiffany people who Tiffany Haddish is.
She's on the Carmichael Show. Mm-hmm. She's got a show coming out with Tracy Morgan called The Last OG. She's got a movie coming out with Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith and Regina Hall called Girls Trip.
That's yes, right. Which and, I saw, which is hilarious.
And she's one of those people, like, you know how you can, for me, you know how you can feel the favor of God on somebody?
Yes.
She definitely got the favor of God on her. So she'll be here next hour.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front Page News is next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Leon.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Now, let's get in Front Page News right to it. Where we want to start, Yee? Philando?
Yes, so we can start with Philando Castile. On Friday, a jury in Minnesota acquitted the Minnesota police officer, Geronimo Yanez, of all charges in the shooting happened in July acquitted? Of last year and left Philando Castile dead.
How you get acquitted of all charges? Like, you can't even get a child endangerment charge. It was a child in the backseat. You know what I mean? Like, you
it's just amazing that they had video footage of all this happening, of him following every single thing the officer told him to do, and that the officer still was acquitted.
That is very scary.
And all
now,
Philando
Castile's mom spoke out as well as she stood outside on a corner outside the courthouse. Here's what she said.
My firstborn one son dead here in Minnesota. Under the circumstances, just because he was a police officer, that makes it okay. Oh, now they got free reign. He's found innocent on all counts. He's shot into a car with no regard to human life. And that's okay. Thank you, Minnesota.
Play the video when she was home and when the Remy kicked in.
Yeah.
All right, well, here she is.
That's when you get the real.
Yeah, I see it. You got the real.
When she was streaming live, and here's what she had to say there.
Now you see exactly what these motherfuckers think about us. They murdered my motherfucking son with his seatbelt on. So what does that say to you? Now they got free reign to keep killing us any kind of way they want to. Because that shit wasn't right. And I'm here to say that and the police, and they gonna keep on killing us as long as we sit down and just take it.
That's after that Remy kicked in. Drop on the clues bombs for Philando Castile's mom.
That was 2 Chainz she was listening to, right? Yeah, that was 2 Chainz in the background.
Oh, God bless him, man. People Absolutely. Was hitting me all weekend saying, I can't believe they let him off, and they so shocked and they so surprised. Not me. I'm shocked and surprised when they actually get convicted.
Yeah, right. You know, this is the first time in Minnesota history that they've even announced charges against an officer that could have possibly happened. That's never even happened before.
It's almost a slap in the face. It's like, you know, you're pressing charges, but you know you're not going to convict him. Like, how you let him off on all counts? You don't charge him with nothing, zero, zilch, nada.
That leaves no hope.
I mean, even if it was a child endangerment charge, you know, there's a child in the backseat when you just fired off in that car.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's Front Page News. All right.
And just by the way, this is happening right now. This morning, there was in London, one person was killed and several injured. A van drove into pedestrians near Finsbury Park Mosque in North London. I'm just giving you guys an update as we go along. One person is dead at the scene.
I'm sure we'll give you more information as it develops, all right? But now, right now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Phone lines are wide open. You can vent. Or if you feel blessed, 800-585-1051. Hit us up right now. Phone lines are wide open. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Gio.
Yo, what up?
Hey, you from the Bronx, man. You wasn't feeling that Tupac movie, bro?
Nah, man. I'm mad I spent all that money, man. I walked out the movie when I saw Tupac turn on the TV. And Love and Hip Hop was on.
Shut up.
Oh, stop it.
Shut up.
Y'all are so dramatic.
Right, man.
That did not happen.
I'm hearing a lot of it. I'm hearing he was playing Call of Duty in the studio.
No.
That's not true.
I'm hearing it was iPhones in the movie.
No.
No, everybody's trying to be funny.
No, I really did hear that. Like,
okay,
heard that.
But that's not true.
So there's no iPhones in the movie? Somebody told me there really is iPhones in the movie.
There's no iPhone in the movie.
Jay from Virginia, what's up?
Oh, my God. Hey, guys. Angela Yee, Charlamagne, Envy. Oh, my God. I've been trying to get to you guys for, like, a long, long time.
Oh, my God. You made it.
All right. So I sent you, asked Yee an email about, you know, me trying to set up a podcast and everything. Listen, I'm bisexual. I am black. And I'm proud of both of that. And I'm trying to start a movement on social media. But, you know, internet trolls trying to block my shine and all that. So I just want to share that, you know, bisexuality is not a myth. It's none of that. It's real, and I am living proof.
Who the hell said bisexuality was a myth? Who said that?
Well, no one really said that, Charlamagne. It's just that there are certain people, even especially on social media and in the internet, they treat it as a joke. So
let me ask you this. When you're dating a woman, do you tell her that you're bisexual? You also deal with men?
Yes, I do.
Okay, as long as you're straight up and honest, that's all that matters.
In your professional opinion, who gives the best fellatio, men or women?
What do you prefer?
Well, listen.
So you see, you talk about people taking like a joke. When I ask you a serious question, you laugh.
Okay. Only because I get that a lot.
Okay.
Just so you know. It's whatever. I mean, whoever I'm dealing with, I mean, it's no competition at the very end of the day. To me,
so you're just greedy then?
It just depends on the person.
Hold on, Charlie. I'm going to have to stop you right there, dog. I respect you. I follow you, all that, but I got to stop you right there. Bisexual people are not greedy, dog. That's the most popular misconception. We're not greedy. We just have no preference. So, like, people have no preference for race. People have no preference for gender, dog. That's what I'm saying.
If Charlamagne had to pick one, which one would you suggest to him?
Wait, pardon?
If Charlamagne had to pick one.
Don't answer that question, bro. Listen, I bet you used to love Rich Merman, but I ain't got no type.
It's not a matter of choice, people. It's just a matter of, you know, who you like is who you like, and that's the very end of the day. Who is in my bed is none of y'all business. It's mine.
Well, don't call up the radio telling us about your bedroom activities then.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, who is in my bed ain't none of your business, but you the one calling up here volunteering that you buy and want to start podcasting everything.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Chandelier.
It's Chandler.
Oh, my bad.
Chandelier.
Not my bad, bro. You're calling from Ohio, man. Why are you mad this morning, man?
Because my daughter's mom, she hasn't let me see my daughter within 4 years. I don't want joint custody when she was two. She's about to be nine, but she tried to lie and say that I hit my daughter. But, you know, in Ohio, they go with whatever the woman says. So I even beat that case, and I'm trying to subpoena her to get my visitation so I can get my joint custody back. But she's still acting stupid. Her name is, I'm going to say her name so everybody in Columbus can know. Her name is Brittany, but she ain't let me see my daughter within, you know, I missed four of her birthdays. I done missed four of Father's Day with her now, so... You know what I'm saying? But that's why I'm mad, because I've been trying to fight this case for about 3-4 years, and she's
that's
still...
That's awful, and your daughter probably has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that's
she
horrible,
just knows
man.
Her dad
probably,
is not
her. She had put me in jail, which I beat that case, so she probably thinks the last 2 years I've been in jail, but...
Hey, brother, you keep fighting. I love brothers that go out there and actually fight for their kids.
Absolutely.
When it comes to child support and custody and all that good stuff, man.
Angel, good morning.
Good morning.
Today's your birthday. Ow.
Ow, it is.
How old are you, Angel? How old are you?
I am 37.
There you go, boo.
Thank you so much. How are you guys today?
We are great, man. I'm glad you're having a great birthday. What you doing today?
Actually, I have to go to work, but that is fine. I enjoy that as well. But after work, I'm going to hang out with my girls. I have three daughters.
Amen.
So I'm going to hang out with them. And then that's about it.
There you go.
All right. Are they going to have cake for you at work and stuff?
Well, they should have cake at work and my desk decorated when I get there, so I'm excited for that. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you guys already in advance.
Are you sure you can eat cake at your age?
I am positive I can eat cake at my age. Actually, Charlamagne, to be honest with you, I've earned the right, because in 2015, I was almost 300 pounds. I lost about 110 pounds.
There you go. I love to hear that.
Cake today.
You eat your cake.
I don't know if you should have the cake, though. I would choose some celery. Choose a healthier option. Let's keep that weight coming down.
I got it. It's going to be a nice little small piece with a little piece of cake. We got it covered, I promise.
What made you want to lose that weight, boo?
I was on blood pressure medicine every day, and I was just really tired of it. I wanted to change. I was tired. I couldn't really keep up with the girls, and I wanted to do something different for myself. So.
There you go. You just wanted to live a healthier lifestyle. I respect that, okay?
Congratulations.
Well, have a great morning, Mama.
You too. Have a great day, guys.
All right.
That is the best birthday gift you can give yourself is the gift of good health, okay? 300-plus pounds, you lose some of that weight, boo. All right?
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. You blessed, you can call us. You're mad, you can call us. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, I tell you what just happened over the weekend. Some twins were born, and it broke the internet, of course. We'll give you some details.
All right, we'll get into all that When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, looks like Beyonce has given birth to the twins. That's according to multiple reports, not to mention her father, Matthew Knowles, tweeted out about it as well. So it has to be true, right? Now, they're saying that she is still in the hospital, though. There are some minor issues, nothing that should be threatening at all, but something that is keeping them in the hospital. We don't know exactly what that is, but the babies are expected to be okay, and so is Beyonce. So congratulations. We do know that there were pink and blue balloons that were delivered to the hospital, so people feel like it's a girl and a boy.
Oh,
so congratulations.
How does TMZ find out everything that goes on?
I mean, it's a good calculated guess.
You know, that minor issues? How would you know that?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, somebody from the hospital's talking.
God bless the Carters. Dropping the clues bonds for the Carters, damn it.
Absolutely. Congratulations to them.
And in addition, for Father's Day, Jay-Z is going to be helping to bail out dads who are stuck in the system for the holiday. He wrote a letter to Time. He said, when black and brown people are over-policed and arrested and accused of crimes at higher rates than others and then forced to pay for their freedom before they ever see trial, big bail companies prosper. And he did say an eye-opener to that situation for him was producing the docuseries Time, the Khalif Browder Story. So he said, 1 in 9 black children has an incarcerated parent. Families are forced to take on more debt, often in predatory lending schemes created by bail bond insurers.
I heard that, and I thought that was dope. And I wanted the information where I could possibly donate some money to. I mean, I ain't got nowhere near Hove money, but I'm sure that I can possibly help and maybe donate to some dads to get out.
I wonder who you bailing. How you bail people out of prison, though? Is it prison or the jail?
It's bond. Well, you're paying for their bond.
Oh, right. Okay. So people that
because it's
like
always really difficult for people to even afford their pay for their bonds.
So they can be trying to help out. They can be out into their trial, yeah.
And everybody keep asking me, do I want another Jay-Z album? Yes, I want another Jay-Z album.
We're going to get into that later in the rumor report. You'll have time to discuss.
Okay.
All right. And Remy Ma versus Nicki Minaj yet again. Now, people are saying that Nicki Minaj was going at Remy Ma because Remy Ma was allegedly in the building at Birthday Bash over the weekend in Atlanta. And Nicki performed No Frauds and Make Love. Well, Remy wanted to be clear. She was escorted out of the building after she performed. Here's what she said.
I know this is not out here trying to act like we was all in the same building and you was acting all tough and hardcore. You know nobody believes that you're tough like that. But let's go. Exhibit A.
My performance time is at 8 p.m. Birthday bash. Due to recent security concerns, immediately following all performances, wristbands will be cut and artists will be escorted out of the arena. Backstage access limited to performers only. No entourages. You'll be asked to leave if you don't have a pass. Absolutely no guns, no weapons, not even for security.
Drop on the clues bombs for Remy Ma. I love Remy Ma. Remy Ma so damn petty and funny on accident. Hardcoreal is definitely the word of the week,
choreo.
Kids. All right? Hardcoreal is the word of the week, kids. All right?
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now we got a special guest joining us. Her name is Tiffany Haddish. You might know her from where, Charlamagne?
Yes. She's from The Carmichael Show. She's got a show coming out with Tracy Morgan called The Last OG. She's going to be in the upcoming movie Girls Trip with Queen Latifah, Regina Hall, and Jada Pinkett Smith. She's just a very funny, blessed, and highly favored individual. I used to watch Tiffany when you used to be on VH1. What was that? I Love the 90s.
Yeah, you was on it, too.
I know.
Tiffany Haddish is here. We didn't tape the same day.
I remember that.
I asked you to get in a photo booth with me, and you said you was busy.
That's not true.
He was busy, though. They was calling you in the room. You was busy.
They had a photo booth.
Yeah, remember they had the photo booth, you know, and I was thinking that would be so cool if I could take a picture with you, and then I could just brag on, like, look, guess who I know, bitches, you know, all through the hood.
Well, my, how the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you would take a picture now.
Tell her what she should know. How many times you on that list?
Oh, the New York Times bestseller? Tell us. This is a few weeks. About 7-8 weeks.
You're killing the game.
Thank you very much.
I just finished your book, too. Very good.
I appreciate
that. Very, very good.
I always thought you was funny, but when I heard your story, you started raising all your siblings at a really young age.
Yeah. My mom had a really bad car accident. Her head went through a windshield, and I was 9. there's five of us total, and I'm the oldest. And so at 9 years old, you know, my mom had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, everything again. And so basically everything she had taught me up to that point, now I'm turning around, I'm teaching her. And so I was like a full-on mom, like right away. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day my mom came out the hospital, the doctor pulled me to the side. He said, look, she's never going to be the person that she was, and it's time for you to grow up now. You're going to have to help her as much as you can, okay? And I was like, okay. But here's the thing. Like, when I think back about it, like, I feel like it made me super strong. I couldn't really read that good at that point, and then...
You was only eight.
No.
What you was supposed to be reading?
I'm supposed to be reading these. I got to read these food stamps and everything, and then fill out all this paperwork so we can eat.
But what happened in the accident? Did somebody hit her? Or
No, my stepdad had cut the brake lines. I found that out later on when I was like 21. That,
he was trying to kill your mom?
He had. See, what had happened was, cocaine is a horrible drug. And he had a few women pregnant. And he had policies on us, and he kept moving us. Like, we had these houses in L.A., and he moved my mom from there. We moved to Pomona. Then from Pomona, we moved to Colton, which is even further from L.A. And my mom at the time was a manager at the U.S. Post Office. She had her own business going. She had properties going. Like, she was, like, a very, you know, entrepreneur, strong woman. And she was only, like, 28, 29. And, so we was all supposed to be dead. And I remember when I turned 21, I got really depressed, and I was crying. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to die because I felt like, why am I even here? I can't take care of these kids. I'm not good at, and I just want to be happy, but it's hard. You know, I'm frustrated. And he took me out for drinks, and he was like,
the stepdad.
Yeah. And he said, you're supposed to be here. Because you could have died a long time ago, but you didn't. And I don't, you know, and then he broke it down to me, and I was just like, what?
Well, he basically told you he tried to kill your mama?
He tried to kill all of us.
Because for a while, you held on to that because you thought you were supposed to be in the car.
Yeah, we all were supposed to be in the car, and I had begged her. Thank you. But I had begged her to let me babysit because I'm like, I'm eight and a half, about to be nine. Uh-huh. I know how to make hot dogs. I know how to make rice. I know how to change diapers. I know how to make babies, you know, formula, all of that. We going to bed in a couple of hours anyways. Why drive us all the way to L.A., drop us off at my grandma's house, then you go to work, then you pick us up at like 6, 7 in the morning, drive all the way back, then I gotta go to school or whatever. Just let me babysit. But she didn't come home. Wow. You know, she let me babysit, but then, you know, 3 days go by, she don't come home. And she said, don't call nobody, you know, and don't answer the phone unless it rings twice and then hang up, because, you know, that's how your mama do when she leave at home alone. She called two times, hang up, then call back. Yes. Then you're like, that's mama.
You didn't want your mama in trouble, get mama locked up.
Right.
You don't want
right.
social workers
no,
at the house.
No. Well, yeah. I didn't even
you didn't know what happened?
No. And then on the third day, I was just like, man, I called my grandma, like, have you seen my mama? Have you talked to her? She was like, no. I'm wondering why y'all, like, came by the house. And I told her that, you know, I'm babysitting, but we running low on rice.
Like, you're 8 years old.
8 years old.
Wow.
And it was like a damn.
Well, what you doing this weekend? Because you know how to raise kids. I got five. I need some help in my house.
Ooh, no. See, that now I don't really want to.
You don't want to be around my children.
Don't want
That's
to.
The best birth control.
No, I was married to a man that had children, and I love his
you
kids.
Were
and I, yeah. I'm a beautiful woman.
I didn't say, yeah.
Tell him again, Tim.
I'm a beautiful woman.
Your ex-husband is actually the man who helped you find your real father.
Yes, he found my real dad. That's how he got me.
Now, I want to talk about your daddy now, your biological dad.
What had happened was he started selling green cards illegally, and that's what got him caught up, and that's why he, like, took off. And so last time I saw him, I was three. And my mom used to always tell me before, you know, like, my middle name is Sarah or Sarah. And in that language, it means princess. So she used to be like, yeah, you're supposed to be some princess, but you look like your ugly ass daddy. And for years, I thought my dad was ugly, and I thought I was ugly, too, because I look like this man, right? But turns out, I go on this cruise. I meet this dude on the cruise.
Don't tell me you f***ed your daddy now.
My ex-husband.
Ooh. Okay. No, I'm not. I don't know where the story was going. Just because
you got it in with your auntie, don't mean. I read the book. So.
She's a good one over here.
Don't play. So, so, no, I went on this cruise. This dude, he's like filming me and stuff and telling me that my smile just lit him up and made him so happy and everything. And he told me he was a police. And at that time, I had just found out about the stuff with my mom and all that and my stepdad. And so I had got my mind that that's what I need to do. I need to sleep with more police. I need to date more police and I can figure out how I can get this man locked up for doing what he did to my mama. Right. So I was going through this whole little point from the time I was like 19, 18. He said, I'll find your daddy for you, but it's going to cost you. And I was like, I'll pay you whatever you want.
He wanted to be
thinking
paid
I'm going
to
give him a little booty or something. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I was going to give him some of that, a couple of $100s. And he was like, I want you to marry me. That's what I want.
Damn.
And so he found him in 3 weeks. And then, like, I'm a woman of my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going
to
do it.
You married a man because you know how to do search Google?
No, he did more than search Google because my daddy was hard to find. But he talked to me every day on the phone for those 3 weeks. He got up in my mind.
Yeah.
Right? And I really enjoyed his conversation. We laughed a lot and stuff. And I was like, oh, I just need to see what he looked like and then it'll be cool. And he linked me up with my dad, and I knew it was my dad because the things he talked about, only my father would know.
Mm-hmm. Did you really want to connect with him? You didn't have no reservations or feel anger because he left y'all?
Well, you know, when I was a teenager, I felt anger, and I thought to myself, oh, if I see my dad, I'm going to kick him in the ding-ding, first thing I'm going to do. But then as I got older, I realized, well, dang, you know, him not being there allowed me to experience so many things. Mm-hmm. It's probably a good thing he wasn't around. He might not have been a good dad.
Mm.
And I thanked him for that. That was one of the first things. I gave him a hug and I said, thank you for not being there because I might not be the person that I am today if he was there.
Do y'all have a relationship now?
He died 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
He died 3 weeks ago, and I turned up last night in a little Ethiopian restaurant for him, drank like 3 glasses of honey wine. I didn't pour none out because he didn't drink, but I did.
All right, we got more with Tiffany Haddish. When we come back, we got to talk about why she hates bunk beds. All right, we'll get into that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now from the Carmichael Show and Girls Trip, Tiffany Haddish is in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, how'd you end up in foster care? That's an interesting story, too.
Yeah, so basically, I was taking care of these kids, you know, and I wasn't the best mom, okay? And I'm taking care of my mom,
You're
too.
You're only 9.
Okay, but at this point, I'm 12. I should be better at it, right? But my mom had another baby, right? With my stepdad, she was off the chain with it because she's lost all her friends. So now I'm her friend, so she's telling me about her sexcapades with my stepdad. Meeting, we met in the Volkswagen, and we did it in the Volkswagen, girl. And I'm like, did what? She's like, the sperm disease. That's what she called it. Yeah. She told me I couldn't do it till I turned 21. Then I could have babies, and I have to get, that's when you get the vaccination. And then, because men have this stuff that shoots out of their weenie that can cause your legs to fall off and your baby carriage to fall out, and then you'll die in 3 days. And
wow.
Yeah, she said,
I'm going to tell that story to my kids.
And she said that men have enzymes in their mouth that'll eat your face up and eat your throat. So don't just kiss guys. Don't never put your tongue in a man's mouth because the enzymes in their mouth will eat you up if you don't have your vaccination. Awesome. And it was so funny when she told me that because then I went to school and I seen one of my homegirls, my friend Amber, she was kissing the dude. I was like, oh no, Amber. You're gonna die. Oh my God. And I went home to my mom said, don't worry about her. Her parents knew she was gonna be a hoe. They got the shot for her early. And so anytime I would see a girl kissing or something, I'd be like, yeah, he did this, me, he did that. I'd be like, oh yeah, you got the shot early. And then
your mom is like a comedian.
My mom is a mess. She used to play, like, you know, Bill Cosby albums and Richard Pryor and Lenny Bruce and all this stuff. And she's supposed to be a Jehovah's Witness, but we listening to cussing and all that because she's just a Jehovah's Witness for the babysitting. Anyways,
he was watching the kids, 12 years old.
Yeah, so I'm watching the kids, 12 years old. My brother wasn't, I went to school before all the other kids, and I would lay out their clothes. And my baby brother, he would go to school, wear whatever he wanted to wear, and he would pee in the bed and stuff. And he would get to school, and the teacher would be like, he'd tell the teacher, I'm hungry, I'm this, I'm that. And so then, you know, they called the social workers. Mm-hmm. They came over. I mean, we had roaches. I mean, I wasn't the best housekeeper. It was a lot of things that I wasn't doing right. And then The social worker started talking to my mom, realized she got some mental issues. I mean, she was talking about, my mom used to talk about aliens in the house and that she could hear them and they come in and they gonna try to rape all the kids and stuff. And she would like not let us go outside and we were only allowed to go to school and come right back. And if I came back like 5 minutes late, I was getting beat for that because you must have been out there letting aliens rape you. And it was just crazy. It was crazy talk. I remember she was pregnant with my baby brother. She punched me dead in the face, busting my lip and stuff, and like pushed the whole dining room table into my abdomen. And I just thought, oh, now I'm never gonna have no kids, but this is cool. And then the social worker came through, evaluated the house, and she came over like every other weekend. And then one day my mom got into a fight with the front neighbors and she had hit the dude with the 2x4 and it accidentally hit his baby and she got arrested. What? Yeah, but they didn't even take her to jail. They just took her to the mental institution. And we got to, when I came home from school, it was police cars out there and the social worker was putting all the clothes in trash bags and she's like, you got to get your clothes and put it in trash bags. Let's go. You moving. And I was like, what? And my stepdad was there and he could have took at least my brothers and sisters. I'm the only one from my father, but he could have took the rest of the kids and they didn't have to be in the system like that. And he's like, take them all. Wow. I'll just follow you and see where you drop them off at. And I'm like, why? Like, just let me go take them. Like, don't let them have to live this life.
How many foster families were you with?
I was with three.
Okay.
Three different families. And then I went first to McLaren Hall, which is it's like a jail, but it's messed up. McLaren Hall is not somewhere you want to be, but I was only there for like a night and a half. So
that's kind of where your comedy career was born.
Yeah, that's where it was born at, because we had to share this room, and that's why I don't do bunk beds now. I think bunk beds is dangerous. I don't never want to be in a bunk bed.
Plus, you're grown as hell.
Yeah, I'm grown as hell, no but f*** a bunk bed. So and hate bunk beds. Like, you want to see me? No, you want to see me have an attitude and ready to squab? Put a bunk bed in the room. Watch what happens.
Nobody's gonna put you in a bunk bed,
girl.
Now,
I don't do bunk beds.
You've had a guy try to have sex with you in a bunk bed?
What? And as soon as I see a dude got a bunk bed, I'm like, bye.
Who are you dating with?
Dudes have bunk beds. They have air mattresses and bunk beds.
Nah, that's true. She lives in LA, so it's like all the people trying to make it on the come up.
Yeah. They have like five roommates and stuff. And I'm like, Anyways, in McLaren Hall, they had these bunk beds. It'd be like four in a room, right? Four beds in a room. And there's like these hella, like, these is gangster chicks with mental problems and all kind of stuff, and they can't house them. And so here I am, like 12, almost 13, up in here with these chicks. And they was like, yeah, we're going to whoop you. Going to cry tonight, bitch. We're going to whoop your fucking ass tonight. Like, and all I could think is this bunk bed, like, there's no out. There's no way out. You trapped up against this wall. So I just start acting real stupid and like clowning and was like, yeah, you want to beat me up? Oh, come on with it. And I did, like, you cross your arm over like this, like I seen on Saved by the Bell. And I was like, you ain't going to touch my fucking face, though. And like, and I was being real stupid. And all I could think of is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. This movie like inspired all my comedy, because there's a scene in Who Framed Roger Rabbit where the detective says, why are all these people doing these nice things for you? And he says, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. Please. And I'm like, yeah, that's the ticket. This is how I'm going to get people to do my homework. This is how I'm going to get people to help me. This is how I'm going to keep from getting beat up. So I just start clowning, just start cracking jokes and being, like, mostly cracking on myself. And these girls was, like, laughing. They was like, yeah, she got problems. They ended up not beating me up. But I was so scared. I was scared. I just knew I was going to get beat up. But they didn't. They didn't beat
me
up.
So comedy was a defense mechanism.
It was a defense mechanism. And I had to. It saved my life.
You know the best part about that story?
What?
Roger Rabbit is responsible for your comedy.
Yes, and you know what's crazy? I ended up in the Laugh Factory comedy camp. And one of our first mentors was Charles Fleischer, the dude that did the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Wow.
Do you know, I hugged that man so hard and was like, thank you so much for doing Roger Rabbit, because you changed my whole life. You kept me safe. I have friends because of you now. Because I didn't have friends when I was younger. And because I saw that movie, it just changed everything. And he was like, breathe, like doing the sound. I'm like, yeah, I love him. He's my friend to this day.
All right, we got more with Tiffany Haddish when we come back. We have to talk about her pooping in her boyfriend's Jordans. Yeah, strange, but we'll talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tiffany Haddish is in the building. Charlamagne?
Why you doo-dooing your ex-shoes, though?
Because he cheated on me. They was Jordans.
I knew it.
It was brand new Jordans.
I knew it was Jordans.
You took a
I ate a gang of corn, so he knew it was human shit.
Did you
do it directly in the shoe?
In the shoe. This is what I did, right? I put the shoe back in the box and was like, he left them at my house. I took him back to his house. I was like, babe, we should go play basketball. Let's go play basketball. You should put your new J's on so you could be the shit on the court. You know what I'm saying? Kill these
on the court.
So you can't tell every man the story. They're going to run from you.
I don't care. Don't do me wrong. You won't get shit on. See? And I would have did, what normal girls do, like put sugar in a gas tank, bust windows out the car, slash tires or whatever, because he slept with another chick on my birthday. On videotape.
What?
And then I had picked up the video camera. He scratched my face. I still got a scratch mark on my cheek from that day. I was dumpster diving, trying to find that tape. I was in a dumpster for 2 hours in the rain. I found it. I watched it. And I was like, this revenge is real. And now I know. Now I'm a better person. Now I know, let God handle it.
There you go.
And when God handle it, he do it so much better.
You jumped in the dumpster for 2 hours.
How did you know that the tape existed?
Because he snatched it from me. And I was like, what's on the damn tape that you snatching the camera from me, scratching my face? He's like, none of your business.
He
should have broke the tape.
Yeah, he's dumb, though.
Yeah,
he is dumb.
Did he ever put the Jordans on, though?
Yes. So what had happened was, I told him to put the Jordans on so we could go play basketball. He put his foot in the shoe. He's like, what the hell? What the hell is in my shoe? And he pulled his foot out. He's like, oh, it's somebody's in my shoe. Corn and And I was standing in the door. I was like, yeah, all the shit you put me through, now you walking in and and I ran out the house because I knew he wasn't.
He was gonna catch you, yeah.
He wasn't gonna chase me through his. He lived with his mama. He lived in his mama house. You're not gonna chase him through your mama house with shit on your feet. And I was out of there.
Life has gotten much better for Tiffany.
Yeah.
I can sit here and listen to these stories all day.
I got a lot of them.
You got the Carmichael Show.
Yes.
Which I love.
Thank
Season
you.
Season 3 of that on
yes,
NBC.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I love working on it.
And Girls Trip comes out next week.
No, it comes out the 21st of July.
Oh, July.
Yeah. But I saw you in Kiana, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't initially think I would like that movie until I saw it. Because I was like, what is the premise of this? I'm confused about it. But then I saw it, and it's actually really funny.
Yeah, it's just men chasing.
But Girls Trip I saw also because I had the privilege of getting to go to like an early screening.
Yeah, tell us about this a little bit.
And I mean, not to give anything away, but Tiffany is like the funniest person.
I mean, from the trailer, you look like the star of the movie.
In this movie.
Which is saying a lot because Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith.
I think all equally
We all equally have our positions in the movie. And I don't think I'm the star at all. I think I just push the funny along. I help push the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically four friends who haven't seen each other in a while, 5 years, and they get together because one of them gets a hookup at
Regina
the
Essence.
Yeah, Regina Hall gets mm-hmm. hooked up at the Essence Fest, and she brings all of us with her, and we fly in first class and doing it big. And my character is just like the crazy, it's like a black female Zach Galifianakis, but turned up to mm-hmm. full ratchetness levels.
Right.
And it's fun. It was so much fun making the movie. When I saw the movie, it's not that I forgot what I did in the movie, but it was just like, wow, they used 75% of my, tags of, stuff I made up, my ad-libs. They used 75% of that. And so that made me feel really good. And then I was like, dang, do I get a writer's credit? But I don't.
But, you know, I thought it was very empowering for women, too, because there's a lot of things in that movie that some people might have shied away from, but you guys are, you know, having sex, like sexual, and it's not like, oh my God, we're, you know, it was just really like
a real girl's trip.
Yeah, like
and
a
you
fun,
always got that one friend that's trying to teach you how to hook it up, you know, teach you how to, the grapefruit. You got to see the grapefruit scene. That's off the chain.
God damn, you do got a big tongue, too.
I know, we just seen it. And then there is a scene where a guy in the movie has a humongous penis.
Yes, Shaka Zulu style thing.
Has that ever happened to you in real life?
What grapefruit?
If I have a penis too big that you
yes, girl, I ended up in a hospital. He tilted my uterus.
What?
Knocked my uterus out of alignment.
Don't look like
what
a
country
hater,
was you in?
Don't look like a hater.
I was in South Central Los Angeles.
He was a black guy baggage handler,
he told me he was like, you know, I got a lot of you ain't gonna be able to handle this. And I was like, boy, please, I don't have enough. It's nothing. Boy, please, like, just make sure, like, make sure you got that lube in them condoms because you about to get the out of you. And he pulled his out. I was like, God damn. Like, and he came with it, and I was like, and I was taking it, and I was throwing it back, and it was killing me. Oh, it was killing me.
But you had a point
I had
prove.
A point to prove, yeah. And like, and whatever I say, I do. Like, and so I did all that. And he was like, right after, he's like, I love you. We should get married. Like, he wanted to marry me and stuff.
And then you
he
was like, to, nah, you a bag
like,
of hand.
He was like, you want to move into my place, trying to take me to his house. He took me to Target, bought me all kind of shit at Target and damn. Stuff. It was horrible. So it was like putting a flashlight in your sitting down on it super hard.
So
over
big is not good for you.
Nah, they tilt your uterus
there
and
you
all
go.
That stuff.
Did you go to the ER?
Yes, I went to the ER. They did an ultrasound. And I said, look, straight up, this dude told me his thing was big. I didn't believe him. I had talked a lot of mess. I threw that ass back, and something's wrong. I was throwing up. I kept throwing up. It was like, because he pushed my stuff up and linked it. And
there you go.
He did what they call.
Well, we're going to use that. Make sure we have that
guy. No, I mean, them like.
You want to.
We know you are. We're using that. We are using that.
Now, don't get it twisted now.
We are using that.
Don't get it twisted now. Now, I still will ride a big one, but now I know how to use a way to do it. It's a technique, and you gotta have some control and some power. You can't just go like rough guard on it. Because I was like, yeah! He's like, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine, motherfucker.
Tiffany Haddish is crazy.
Tell them where to find you on Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff.
Everything is Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany like the diamonds, had and dish keep the two D's is how you spell it. And that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Tiffany Haddish.
Send all a right. Mad pics, y'all.
No, no.
Send mad pics.
If you only send it, don't do that. I hate pics.
What if they look Haddish. Nice and lotioned up and nice veins?
I only want pics that I request. Now, first send me your credit score. Send me your credit score first. Let me get to see your Credit Karma copy. You know what I'm saying? And then we can talk about that pic.
My goodness. It's Tiffany Haddish is the Breakfast Club this morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial just ended with a jury that was deadlocked on all counts. He had faced 3 charges of aggravated indecent assault on Andrea Constant, and if convicted, he faced up to 10 years in prison. But the jury were unable to come to a unanimous decision after they deliberated for 52 hours. So it was a mistrial. Here's what Bill Cosby had to say.
And I want to thank the jury for their long days, their honest work individually. I also want to thank the supporters who've been here. And please, to the supporters, stay calm. Do not argue with people. Just keep up the great support.
All right, now Camille Cosby, his wife, also released a statement that she had read by a member of their PR team. Here is what her letter said.
How do I describe the district attorney? Heinously and exploitively ambitious. How do I describe the judge? Overtly arrogant and collaborating with the district attorney. How do I describe the counsels for the accusers? Totally unethical. How do I describe many, but not all, general media? Blatantly vicious entities that continually disseminated intentional omissions of truths for the primary purpose of greedily selling sensationalism at the expense of a human life.
How Bill Cosby's wife sounds so young?
That
no, that's
her.
The that PR like, team reading her
say.
Statement.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. I thought the same thing. I was like, there's no way she sounds like that. And then I was like, nah, it has to be a transcript.
She got an 80-year-old body and a
you guys didn't hear me say, here's the statement that Camille Cosby put out, read by a member of their PR team.
No, yo, I definitely heard that.
I hear that.
Okay, well, I said it. Mm. And in addition to that, though, prosecutors have announced they are going to retry the case.
They are?
Yes, so it's not over.
Leave that man alone now, man.
It's not over.
That's spending too much money on this case. He's what, 85 years old?
79.
Leave it alone.
They want to get him a life sentence in jail, man, which would be a year. A life sentence would be a year for Bill Cosby at
longer
this point.
Than a year, man.
All right, now, All Eyes on Me opening weekend. How do you guys think it did? Now, they had estimated that All Eyes on Me was going to do between $17 million to $22 million, but it ended up doing $27.1 million in the debut weekend. And nice. The movie had a budget of $45 million. So that's
no,
pretty...
No, there's no way. There's no
that's
way.
That's a solid
that movie,
opening.
There's no way that movie had a budget of $45 million. There's no I way. Mean, I don't believe that. Right, where did that rumor come from? That's a bad internet rumor.
Variety?
So, straight out of Compton. No, straight out of Compton budget was 28. So how... I don't even think it was 28. I think straight out of Compton budget was like 13 or something. I don't know. Or 25. How okay. did... How Pac got a $45 million budget and they got iPhones in the movie?
There's no iPhone. Well, I didn't see it.
There's no way that movie had a budget of 45.
Straight Outta Compton made $60 million in the first week, just to give you some perspective on how much the movie made in the first week. All right, so that's how the movie did. Yeah, I saw it last night.
What you thought?
I thought it was, listen, I know people have a lot of jokes about it and are saying how terrible it is, and I think it's a difficult movie to make because it's Tupac. Tupac is legendary. I thought it was okay, but it wasn't great. It was decent. It wasn't riveting.
What made it decent? What didn't you like about it?
I mean, I think some of the cast, the characters that they casted in the movie didn't do it for me. I think it's hard to put all of that into a couple of hours because there was a lot of things that didn't really go as far in depth as I thought it should have.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't have an opinion on the movie thus far.
Me too. I haven't seen it
but
yet.
But I know that the reviews that I'm seeing are making me not want to see it.
Not
but thankfully, I'm the type of person that comes to my own conclusions about things, but I haven't seen it yet. But I ain't no way in hell that movie had a $45 million budget.
It would be to try to cram all of that in. It's just too much. It's too much. Like, you got to do one section of his life. It just starts with him being born, you know, even before he was born, when he was in his mother's womb, and when the movie ends, when he gets killed. And that's a lot of time to really try to carry. 25 years.
But did they have iPhones in the video?
I didn't see any iPhones, so I looked, too, because people kept saying that. I did not see that.
I seen a video of Tupac Millie rocking, and I don't know where that came from. I saw that.
All right, well, Jada Pinkett Smith had some issues with the movie because she felt like the scenes that she was pictured in were not accurate. She said that on Twitter, "Forgive me, my relationship to Pac is too precious to me for the scenes in All Eyes on Me to stand as truth. The reimagining of my relationship to Pac has been deeply hurtful." She said, "Pac never read me that poem. I didn't know that poem existed until it was printed in his book. Pac never said goodbye to me before leaving for L.A. He had to leave abruptly, and it wasn't to pursue his career. I've never been to any of Pac's shows by his request. We never had an argument backstage." Well, L.T. Hutton, the producer, responded to Jada Pinkett Smith. Here's what he said.
Kind of disappointed and just hurt by the accusations that it wasn't depicted, or what I can't remember the exact words she said. You know, it all came from the truth. You know, in places of moments of her actual dialogue and ideas that Pac actually had. Like I said, I created this film and what you call created the Holy Trinity. It's who Tupac was, who he wanted to be, and who he had to be to survive the world that he was introduced into. So each part of the film, you'll have the things that, okay, that's who Tupac was. And then you'll have moments where it's like, oh, that's who he wanted to be.
I don't understand if I didn't see the movie, but if she was in the movie that much, why didn't they talk to her?
I don't know what happened, you know what I mean, with them reaching out. From my understanding, they did try to reach out to her, but I don't know exactly what happened.
Look, man, if Jada Pinkett Smith said it didn't happen, it didn't happen. She was there, all right? I'm not arguing with Jada Pinkett Smith. Exactly. I'm not going to tell her, no, you was there. This is what really happened. No, if she said it didn't happen, then it didn't happen. And they say Straight Outta Compton had a $28 million budget. You trying to tell me that this Pac movie had more of a budget than Straight Outta Compton?
I read that it had a $50 million budget.
I'm looking at it right now on Box Office Mojo and IMDb. $28 million budget for Straight
Outta
Compton.
With Ice Cube involved, I don't think that the Tupac movie had more, a bigger budget than that.
No way.
I don't think so.
No way.
But hey, I don't know.
All right. So, I mean, but there are some parts of the movie that you would like. So
I'm going to check it out this week.
Take it all with a grain of salt. But I know it's funny to everybody to drag it online. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Were they really playing Call of Duty in the studio?
That's what I heard. I heard they were playing Call of Duty during the scene.
Come on, guys.
And I definitely heard he was performing Hail Mary. How Pac performed Hail Mary? And Machiavelli album came out after he died.
They did have Hail Mary.
That didn't make no sense.
He performed it?
But I was, I don't know
how
that happened.
But I'm not making no decision.
In my head, I was thinking maybe that song he did before that album came out, way before.
I didn't see the movie.
And then he had the single and...
I don't have an opinion about the movie. I have not seen it.
All right. Well, thank you for those rumors, Yeesh.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
What'd you find?
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly.
The Breakfast Club.
Yes! Donkey of the Day for Monday, June 19th goes to the jury that acquitted Officer Geronimo Yanis. That's how you pronounce that? Well, the officer who murdered Philando Castile. If you haven't heard, Philando Castile was shot and killed during a traffic stop, and Geronimo Yanis was cleared of all charges. I really don't even know why I'm giving this jury Donkey of the Day, because I'm not even surprised. People were saying to me all weekend, can you believe they let this officer off? Yes, I can believe it. Doesn't surprise me at all. What surprises me is when police officers actually get convicted. That's what's shocking in this day and age. Okay, sadly, the Philando Castile verdict is the norm. And it's a norm that I'm becoming numb to. And I don't like that feeling, because that feeling of numbness almost makes me feel like I'm just accepting the way things are. And that can't possibly be the case, right? Go to NBC News for the report, please.
It was the video seen around the world.
Oh, my God, please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
32-year-old Philando Castile shot 5 times during a traffic stop for a broken taillight last summer. His girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, streaming the graphic aftermath live on Facebook. Reynolds' then-4-year-old daughter in the back seat. Tonight, the officer, Geronimo Yanis, has been found not guilty of manslaughter. The Castile family is outraged.
And for that man to get on the stand and lie for them jurors to not have enough human empathy and a conscience to just do the right thing.
10 white jurors and 2 black jurors deliberated 4 days after Officer Yanis took the stand in his own defense, saying, I did not want to shoot Mr. Castile. It was not my intention. I was scared to death and I thought I would die. He said Castile, a school cafeteria worker, matched the description of a robbery suspect, that he smelled marijuana and saw Castile reach for a gun.
Told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand open.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license.
Prosecutors argued Castile had a permit, warned the officer he had a firearm, and that the officer overreacted. Tonight, a heightened police presence as Officer Yanis has been found not guilty.
Even though Yanis has been found not guilty, the city of St. Anthony, Minnesota has decided to remove him from the force.
That is so crazy, man. That pisses me off every time I hear this story.
Disgusting.
When you watch this video, which I've only done twice, because the first time I saw it last year, I didn't even think it was real, because I couldn't believe that Philando Castile was shot during a traffic stop after he was pulled over for a broken taillight. Now, we all remember his girlfriend recording the whole thing via Facebook Live.
Right.
You know, the story is Philando told the officers that he was in possession of a firearm and he had a concealed carry permit, and when he went to reach for the documents, he was shot 4 times. His girlfriend was driving and his 4-year-old daughter was in the back seat. Now, when you watch that video and you hear that the officer got completely off, all you can say is how? How can a jury full of people possibly watch this video and just let this man walk? Who are these cold-hearted jurors with no conscience, no sympathy, no empathy for this situation? Why do people think that an injustice anywhere is not a threat to justice everywhere? What makes you think that you or someone you love won't end up in that situation? There was a kid in the backseat, his girlfriend driving the car. You just let off in the car like it was nothing? Child in the backseat, no child endangerment charges, nothing, just scot-free? Now, they did fire the officer, which lets me know you know this guy was wrong, but firing isn't enough. He got away with murder. A whole murder. He took a whole life. A whole breathing individual ain't breathing no more because of you. All right? Regular civilians can't go around killing people, and police officers shouldn't have that power, too. I'm just so sick of this conversation. It just feels pointless. Don't nobody care but us. Let's hear what Philando Castile's mother felt about the situation. Let's listen to her speak that real.
I'm still trying to be strong and not say the wrong things, because I already know how they get down. I'm 61 years old. I've seen it. I've smelled it. I've heard it. Now you see exactly what these motherfuckers think about us. They murdered my motherfucker. His son with his seatbelt on. So what does that say to you? Now they got free reign to keep killing us any kind of way they want to. So I just want to say one thing to everybody out there. I don't give a f- what you do. Do what your heart desires, because that wasn't right. And I'm here to say that and f- the police. Say whatever the f- you want to say. Now this is the real Valerie Castile. I don't give no f- no more. This is crazy.
her attitude is effort. Mm-mm-mm. And I don't blame her. And that's exactly how a lot of people are feeling, because what are we supposed to do when we keep seeing this same scenario play out time and time again? Philando Castile was a legal gun owner. He had his permit. He told the cop that, and his rights still weren't respected. NRA, where y'all at? All right? This officer, what's his name? I can't even pronounce his name. Geronimo Yenes?
I don't know.
Said he feared for his life. When I watched this video, the only person I feared for was Philando Castile, his girlfriend, and his four-year-old daughter in the back seat.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay? I just don't know, man. I have zero words. I mean, what did this jury see that we didn't? Please give the jury that acquitted Geronimo Yanez the biggest hee-haw, please.
This is so sad, man.
I don't even know how you can explain it.
But, I mean,
like, what was your thinking? What was that conversation in the room like?
There is none.
But the police department, they must know he was wrong because they don't want him back on the force.
They fired him.
So they figured it out. So I don't understand how the jury couldn't. Like, let's... Oh, my freaking gosh.
They fired him. He got fired. They fired him.
All right. All right. All right. All right.
The Breakfast Club. Are you ready? It's time to shoot your shot. Time to shoot your shot with The Breakfast Club. This is your one chance. Don't mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up.
Holly, what's up?
Hey.
Now, you want to shoot your shot, Holly? Explain to the people the situation.
Okay. I know this guy, Sean. We go to the same church together. And I've known him for probably the last, like 4 or 5 years. And we've always liked each other, you know, like, we talk and we're cool and whatever. But either I have a boyfriend and he has a girlfriend, it's just never worked out. And finally, we're both single. So I feel like I finally want to come out and tell him, like, that I have feelings for him.
Well, how do you, where do y'all see each other at the most?
We go to the same church.
Oh.
Okay, that's nice. Good. He's a God-fearing man.
Yeah, and, you know, I like that, because if I want, you know, somebody that I'm going to be, like, in a real relationship with, you know, I want somebody who's, like a good guy, and we're in the choir together.
Now, just because you're so in the church don't mean you're a good guy. It's a lot of whores in the church.
Well, that's true, but I think he's a good guy. I think I know.
Okay, I'm not mad at this. Now, y'all can go to church and sit next to each other.
Are y'all going to pray before y'all have sex? Like, you bless
or are you going to wait till you get married?
Or maybe in the middle, darn.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. There may be some calling for God. During.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. I like this.
Okay.
All right, let's call Sean and see if we can get you up onto his church rope.
Okay.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to get Sean on the line. Don't move and shoot your shot. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right, we got Hallie on the line. She's about to shoot her shot. Hallie, good luck. All right, let's call him now, Hallie.
Hello?
Hey, Sean?
Hey.
This is Holly.
Hey, what's up, Holly?
Not too much. I know, like, I've never called you before. I have something I kind of want to talk to you about. I'm actually kind of, like, getting nervous now that it's time to do it.
All right. You know, what's going on?
Yeah. So we've known each other for, like, a while now, and... You know, it always seems like we hit it off and we could talk to each other and everything. But, you know, either you had a girlfriend or I had a boyfriend or somebody was always with somebody. And is it true? I heard you're single now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay. Would you, like, maybe want to go out sometime?
I appreciate it, but I don't know. I just don't think so.
Holly, hello. This is The Breakfast Club.
What's up, Sean?
Charlamagne Tha God, DJ Envy, Angela
Yee. What's up? What's going on?
Sean
here?
Just rebuked your vagina in the
Damn
name
it,
of
man.
Satan, Holly.
What's wrong with Holly, Sean?
Oh man, like,
you don't want to strike her, man?
See, here's the thing, man. Like, how you ought to know this, but everybody been talking about how she going around in the church, man.
What's how do you
hold on, hold on. What does that mean, going around?
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's sleeping around with it. Like, every other week, it's like she's talking to somebody new.
Sean, what about forgiveness?
What about forgiveness? And you can pray over that vagina, and it'll be just like it's brand new once you pray over it. That's all.
I mean, you can. Doubt, I mean, they have baptism. Still don't undo what's been done.
Holly, so when you get baptized, you need a little salt and vinegar in the water just to make it a little tighter, a little fresher, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll do whatever, Sean. Like, it's not a big deal, but I don't know who is saying this about me because I don't even think.
What you mean, do whatever?
I've talked to, like, maybe, like, 4 or 5 guys in church.
Oh, wow.
You done ran through the whole choir, Holly. And the ushers, Holly. Huh? Are you sleeping with the pastor too, Holly?
Goodness gracious.
The deacon, come on.
You slept with the deacon, Holly?
The deacon.
Sean, why are you snitching?
We were going out for like 6 months or something.
See, though, this is what I'm saying. Now you're starting to confess. I'm telling you, I can't be out. I can't go out like that. I'm sorry.
Holly.
Let he without sin.
Okay, cast the first stone. But Holly, you got to learn to spare the rod. Okay?
Spare the rod.
Yeah, that means that you can't be having sex with every rod in the church. All right?
You know, Jesus would have forgiven me.
Hey, you know,
Jesus would have forgiven you.
Like thing.
Jesus would have forgiven you, but that don't mean he'd have took you out on a date.
My goodness. I'm so sorry,
so
Holly.
So basically, Sean, you're just not attracted to Holly aside from everything else.
I mean, she looks all right. It's just that whole sleeping around in the church thing, like even the congregation knows, man. I'm telling you.
Thou shalt not judge, Sean. Okay? You don't even know if that is true. And why are people gossiping in the church anyway?
Holly,
the church ain't supposed to be a place for gossip.
Holly, how many people in the church have you dated?
She said like 4 or 5.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's been over the course of like since high school.
Luke 6:37.
They done told me.
Luke 6:37, Sean, do not judge and you will not be judged, okay?
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
All right, well.
I'm going to take my business somewhere else, not in the church.
I'm going to tell you a rule that, you know, I feel like God put on my heart to tell you this morning.
Don't get high on your own supply.
I don't call women hoes unless I've slept with them. Now, when you slept with me, you've gone too far, okay? So I don't listen to anything that anybody says about, you know, another woman, okay, until I experience it myself. So until you sleep with this woman, Holly, you cannot call her a whore. And besides that, at least she's sleeping with people in the church. Those are righteous men.
Everybody in the church is not righteous.
Okay, but at least she's keeping it in the church. It's communion box.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to get my communion somewhere else.
Holly, I'm so sorry.
All right, sorry it didn't work out,
they
guys.
They're passing Holly's poom-poom around in the church like it's the plate, okay?
Stop it.
Who gives the biggest donations, Holly?
Yeah.
You know what? Thank you guys for calling. Thank you. You have a good one, guys. Sorry. Yeah, you are so rude.
Oh, I love it.
My goodness.
Now
All right.
See why Chili got me blocked.
The rumors are next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
Yes, Jay-Z has announced his next album, 444. He shared a snippet of the track Adness, and it's a trailer with it as well. So I guess it's going to be a visual album. It has Mahershala Ali and Danny Glover. And both the album and the visuals will be available June 30th. Now, it's really good news for you if you are a Tidal and a Sprint customer, okay, because you'll be having that exclusively on Tidal. So everybody else, you ain't going to get it on June 30th.
Let's be clear. Everybody asking me, do I want another Jay-Z album? Yes, I want another Jay-Z album. You know why?
Why?
Because my birthday is on June 29th. I am a grown-ass man, a whole full adult. Okay?
A whole full adult.
All right? Yes, I look forward to the people I grew up on still putting out music. I like age-appropriate hip-hop, and yes, I am happy that he's putting out another
album. All
right,
well, let's not forget that Sprint also has a 33% stake in Tidal, so for people wondering why Sprint, that is why.
That's smart. Smart move.
All right. Young Thug, speaking of music that you like that came out, his album, Easy Breezy Beautiful Thugger Girls, came out, and he tweeted about it. He said, I dropped it on Tupac's birthday because I'm the hashtag Nupac. I feel like I'm the thug he didn't get to become.
And then he said, so I'm going to finish what he started, and there it is.
By the way, Tupac definitely was a thug.
He was.
And that's why he's dead now. All right? That's not what he's trying to say. Tupac, he was a thug that Pac didn't become. No.
No, he was a thug.
Yeah. Pac was a full thug.
Thug life.
Yes.
All right, well, Wyeth and Lucci responded and said Pac would have never wore a dress.
Which is factual.
Clown emoji.
Which is factual.
And then it looks like Young Thug responded to him. He said, you little mad or big mad, peon. Busta, stop playing. Thank God you're able to take care of your mama and be humble. Doing too much could become a deep sleep.
Well, that's the problem with Pac. I don't know if the movie portrayed that, but the problem with Pac is everybody glorifies the thug life, but they don't ever glorify the other aspects of Pac's personality, which was very revolutionary in a lot of ways.
Well, there was a bit of they did actually stress that a bit in the movie. He was kind of torn between people telling him, well, you're supposed to be this revolutionary. That's what Jada Pinkett Smith was telling him. But what are you doing? And he's talking about fighting for his life, and you can't just let anybody do anything to you.
Oh,
so it was definitely in the movie.
And I just would like, for the record, the kids to know that Young Thug is not the new Tupac. And neither is Troy Ave.
Nobody
and
is.
Neither is Kodak Black. And neither is none of them Negroes who be
There'll
claiming to be
There'll never be anybody
Tupac.
Like Tupac.
There will never be another never. Tupac.
Never. Not at all.
Okay? Stop it, young boys.
All right. And Juvenile has been arrested, and that is for child support. He didn't pay child support. That sucks, man. All on Father's Day weekend, he's being held on a $150,000 bond. So.
They said his kids are way over 21, I thought they said. They said this might be old or something. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, they get some old money because it's like a bunch of... He owes over $150,000. So
Yeesh!
I've got to assume that's old. It's back child support since 2012.
We got to stop calling Juvenile Juvenile. All right, Juvenile is a full adult, too.
What is a full adult, man?
A full grown-ass adult, all right? Juvenile older than me, so that means he over 40, all right? So you got to stop calling him Juvenile. What's his real name?
I don't know.
Tarius or something.
Well, we need to call him Tarius from now on.
Well, let me not make that up, because I don't know. I might have just made that up.
All
Juvenile's
right.
real name. Hold on. I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report, but let me find out Juvenile's real name before I'm wrong.
All right, why are you doing that?
Yeah, it is. It's Tarius Gray.
Okay. Tarius Gray. All right. Well, shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, People's Choice mixes up next. 800-585-1051. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.